Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it at the App Store or on Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. With that said, let's move on to the show. Welcome, wrestling fans, to Off the Mark, your weekly source for all things wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Chavo is gone from the WWE. Why is this, Aaron?
He did not want to be there anymore. I guess after losing his 10th match to Hornswoggle, he decided that, you know what, maybe I'm a little bit better than that. So he wanted his release, and he's gone from there.
It's actually kind of sad, because he actually had a job for life, and for some reason he decides that he wants to leave, but I guess money can't buy happiness, as this is proven in this case. Because with Eddie, you know, passing away, he had a job for life. Anyway, so Impact Wrestling wants Jeff Hardy to enter rehab. Okay.
Well, actually, TNA wants Jeff Hardy to enter rehab, Andy, in case you didn't read the notes there. And it actually is TNA, because TNA owns Impact Wrestling. So, but they want him to enter rehab because, look, let's face it, he needs to, all right? He has so many issues, and he is such a talent that can help TNA and Impact Wrestling out. But the problem is, if he doesn't get his demons under control, he's not going to be able to do a whole lot for him.
Right, but why are they going to force him to get into rehab, though? I mean, what is he actually going into rehab for? That's the other thing that I was trying to figure out. Is it from drugs? Is it from alcohol? I mean, what is it? Because, you know, they never said.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it's for. He needs to go. I mean, with how bad he's, tarnished his image, and also even TNA's. That pay-per-view match with him and Sting was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And he really tarnished that image. And if he, you know, keeps it up, then it could get worse. So I am in favor of this. I don't know about you.
I mean, I want him to go to rehab, but I'm just curious, what is it? What is he on that's causing him to act this way? Because, you know, is it SOMO? You know, what is it? What? Because it's a cocktail of something. It has to be a cocktail of something. Or is he doing it because he's hurt? You know, who knows? He's just had a daughter born. Is that right? It's just really weird.
Yeah, he had a kid, and he needs to grow up. Yeah. That's the biggest problem. He needs to grow up.
Yep, so Lesnar and Heyman are on the verge of signing with the WWE, but
they're,
it's just...
Yeah, they're going to sign with the WWE, Andy. Are you excited for this?
I'm so excited. Gosh, he's going to bring back the F5. He's going to come in and wrestle and everything. It's going to be great. Oh, but
as we know, they're not really signing with them. It's a Legends-type contract. We don't know the specifics as of right now, but basically they're going to sign for something where you get a Brock Lesnar action figure, or they, you know, use his likeness in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing too big, but it'll be kind of interesting since CM Punk actually mentioned him in his promo.
He mentioned both those guys.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was kind of when I first saw the headlines, I was like, really? And then I was like, So John Morrison is out for another month or two. I thought it was funny because he was just on Raw and he didn't quote unquote wrestle. And you couldn't tell that he was hurt as well because he was already laying down the ring when we saw or laying on the floor when we saw him. Kind of a genius move on the WWE when they did that.
It really was. It's unfortunate he's going to be out for longer because, you know, right now it would be really great to have him back for SummerSlam. You know, have him and R-Truth have a really epic match. But unfortunately, they're going to have to wait a little bit longer. You know, it's going to have to be maybe at Hell in a Cell or something.
Right. So we got to move right into Raw because there's some big stuff that happened. Sin Cara versus Evan Bourne. Did it live up to the hype? I don't think so.
Yeah. Aside from the few botches that we saw, you know, I mean, they actually kind of covered for him pretty well. I liked the match. It was incredibly fast-paced, which isn't a bad thing, but I think that the vast majority of matches we see in the WWE are such slow-paced or medium-paced that this one, I almost want to say was too fast. And I hate to say that.
I disagree with you. I thought it was too slow because they could have been doing more and more and more, but they didn't. It just seemed like they would do move, and then they'd take a while to do the next move. It just seemed like that. That's, at least to me, that's what was going on. I was kind of upset that I thought it could have been, you know, more fast paced, but it was, it ended up being a good match. Evan Bourne took a, when he went down on his shoulder, it looked really bad. And I don't know if he did something or what, but it looked like his shoulder popped out of place. But there's been no reports of him being injured. I sent a couple emails, asked if anyone knew about it. No, nothing. So anyway, so I hope, you know, if he, I hope he's okay, but we'll find out, I guess, in a couple weeks. So Kofi has gotten two wins over Dolph now, but they've been each non-title. What's going on? Why don't they just put the strap back on Kofi?
Do you want to have the title change hands every 7 days, you know?
Well, it makes
probably
it kinda,
not.
See, that's why they need a TV title, because then they can change hands all the time. Get rid of the US and IC title and just have a TV title.
Well, I think
combine those two, then have a TV title where they wrestle on all the shows. And then they wrestle on Superstars. And then, you know, hey, if someone different comes out for Superstars before Raw goes on the air, you know that someone's going to drop the belt soon. But anyway,
they put on good matches. That's the big thing. And it's nice to see them, you know, get some time in. I would like to see two people maybe thrown into this feud. Maybe throw in Evan Bourne and Jack Swagger. Kind of, you know, spice it up a little bit. Maybe put the strap on one of them. I think that'd be really nice to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So Mark Henry puts Big Show through the cage. I want to talk about something here. How come when Big Show did the superplex off the second rope, how come the ring didn't break?
It only breaks when that's done, you know, from Brock Lesnar.
Put him through the cage. He was gimmicked up, and they just threw him right through it. And Big Show, it was actually a weird bump that he took. But I got to say, I'm pretty impressed with Big Show. He never used to take bumps like this. And, man, he is going down a lot now. I'm surprised. Because usually
This is probably the most, the best thing I've seen Mark Henry in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the most memorable thing
since
on
Mae
top
Young.
Of it. Yeah, why did you put that image in my head?
Well, that's, you said memorable, so that's the most, that, you know, so.
Yeah, okay. This is the most memorable. Hopefully this is what he'll be remembered for, because I'm sorry, Mark Henry is such a, not a wasted talent, because he's not a talent. So he's just kind of, he's a waste of space, all right?
Yep.
But this is going to be the biggest thing that he's done in a long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we got to, you know, R-Truth beats Cena in a tables match. If you remember a while back, they actually said it, Sheamus beat Cena in a tables match, but it was for the title. This one was not for the title, but R-Truth put Cena through a table. Bam.
Yeah, Punk interfered, and then after that, Punk cut his very, very famous promo that we actually will not be talking about right now. Hate to tease it, but we're going to save that for our weekly topic, because we are going to go really in depth with everything.
Big time on this one. Big, big, big promo. Great. Actually, probably the best in 15 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's move on to SmackDown. Daniel Bryan has his weekly match with Ted DiBiase. And of course, he puts him in the LaBelle lock. And this time, Cody Rhodes was a little upset.
Yeah. So there was a backstage segment with Cody and Ted. Cody was upset with him for losing. It's kind of stupid, but I don't mind having these matches, but you need to end it at some point in time or have it be worth something, because right now it's kind of worth nothing. There's no title on the line or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Big time. And also Sin Cara, which we like to call this match Botchamania. Sin Cara loses his first match to Christian, which proves no point because Sin Cara was on a roll. He hadn't lost yet. And Christian beats him, but there were so many botches in this match. Tons of botches.
And I'm sure that, they probably edited a few out, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I know, like, I'm thinking about, like, even last week's SmackDown that we didn't talk about. There were definitely a few edits in Sin Cara's match. I could even tell that. The thing I like about this, though, is that it helps Christian out because, you know, they're trying to elevate him to Randy Orton's level. And Sin Cara hasn't lost a match yet, so this shows him as being human, as being vulnerable.
Right.
And to me, that's actually a good thing. So I think that this is good for both characters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then the show basically ends with a contract signing between Christian and Randy Orton.
But and Andy, guess what happened? You'll never believe it.
I think it's going to get...
But it didn't go as planned.
Nope.
It didn't go as planned. Nope.
Sheamus runs out and, you know, breaks up the contract signing. Actually, rips the contract in half, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it looks like there's going to be a three-way match at Money in the Bank, possibly?
Well, they're teasing it. We don't know. I mean, there may or may not be. You know, but they are teasing it. It would be kind of nice to have a three-way or even a four-way for the title. That might be a good idea to do, since you normally don't see those.
That is true. That is true. So, and hey, do we want to talk about superstars this week?
So, HostGator.
Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and a one-click script installs with a free site builder and an easy control panel. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OffTheMark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling.
So a couple of corrections here from last week. Unfortunately, you know, when we were typing up the script, I actually put in their gun money instead of beer money. That was just a mistake on my part. And so Andy, you know, said it. And then the other thing, too, was that so Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles, they were teasing that for a three way. Right. They were teasing it. It wasn't official, but they were teasing it. And what's really unfortunate is that we found out this week that that will not be happening. So those are just a couple of corrections. Unfortunately, we do have to make them from time to time. But big thing that happened. So Anderson and Hogan have a segment. One of the things that we kind of want to talk about here is that Anderson is your Impact Wrestling TNA champion. But why is it Anderson and Hogan? Where is Kurt Angle in all of this? He's the number one contender. And Angle hasn't really been even talked about. There's been no buildup to him and Anderson. And my biggest beef with this, Andy, and I'm sure you're probably on the same boat, for the past 2 months they were doing something right. They were really building up the feuds. You know, like with Anderson and Sting, they were really building that up. But like this is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I don't understand the segment at all. I mean, I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't they talking about the number one contender already, which is Kurt Angle?
Yeah.
Who
cares about Hogan? Hogan doesn't need that much time.
Exactly.
Right?
It's just an ego thing for him. That's all it is. I mean, I'm seriously sick of Hogan now.
I don't mind having him there. I really don't mind having him there and have him in a couple segments. But when your show revolves around him, you're going to lose TV time for really important character building possibilities.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I want to talk about that I thought was really cool on Impact this week, the match with Low Ki and Jimmy Wang. Is that Jimmy Wang? And I can't remember the other guy. But they actually had a limited commercial interruption for the match. It was awesome. It was probably one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. A couple moves, I was like, wow, that's awesome. I haven't seen that done in a long time. But we got to, I mean, that match is just awesome. Just a great match. Low Ki wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's face it. Seeing Low Ki back is really great.
And it proves my point.
Such talent.
Yeah, but here's what proves my point. Why was he in FCW? There's no reason he should have been in FCW. I mean, watching the match, it's just, you're like, wow, that guy's, he's polished. What does he have to, what is he going to learn from changing to the WWE style? Because there's really not much he'd have to change. That's what I understand. But.
Well, it's so much slower paced. And, you know, my biggest beef with it, though, is this is a polished wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
He is somebody who knows what he is doing in the ring and has wrestled all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like with Daniel Bryan, he didn't need to be there. And Low Ki really didn't need to be there either. It'd be like AJ Styles. AJ Styles, let's say, goes to WWE and they say, can't wait for you to debut. But first, we're going to have you go to FCW for a while. And he'd be like, I'm sorry, but I'm a little bit better than that, you know? Like, right. Just a little bit. It'd be like putting Sting there, you know? Like, who would do
it's
that?
Like, you know, Sting, you're going to have to adjust to the WWE style thing. So we're going to put you down at Florida Championship Wrestling and be like, what? It's like, I think differently on this one. But it just proves my point that he should have been up in the roster right away. And, you know, great match. Got it, you know, great match. So anyway, so the British Invasion turns face. Really?
Why? What was the point in this? Like, this is the biggest problem I have with this is that was it Doug Williams was a heel who turned to a face, who turned to a heel, who now turned to a face. And this has happened. And I'm not even over exaggerating. This has happened in about the span of to 9 months.
Yeah, there's no point to it. Seriously. I mean, all right. Why turn the British invasion face? They're invading America.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they a good, like, heel tag team?
They're
You have, like, Inc., you'd have Beer Money, you'd have Motor City Machine Guns that could go up against them. Even you could put Eric Young and Orlando Jordan against them. And, I mean, you need heel tag teams, you need face tag teams. And there's no need for this.
Yeah,
but let's move on, though, to AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. They signed a contract for Destination X. That's why we had to make that correction in the beginning. Now, RVD and Jerry Lynn are also going to be having a match at Destination X, which is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually interrupt the contract signing because guess what, Andy? You'd never believe this. Contract signings never go as planned.
No, never do.
Well, so they have a four-way match now set for next week's Impact. Thoughts?
Interesting. That should be a decent match, actually, when you think about it.
To get that for free on TV?
See, that's why you don't get this stuff away for free. They're giving some matches away that they should. This is one of those matches that where you're like, you know, maybe we should just go ahead and, you know, make people pay for it. Because this is what I'd pay for.
Yeah, I would too. But still, to get this for free, I mean, I'll tell you what. This is going to be one of those matches that I will watch at full speed as opposed to fast forward one. You know?
Fast forward one.
It's going to be really great. Now, let's move on to the main event. So, Sting beat Steiner, and then Bully, Hogan, and Anderson all come down one at a time for a brawl, and then Angle comes down finally to make the save. What'd you think of the final segment?
Bleh. This is the stuff, if I ran a wrestling company, this is stuff I would not have happen. This is uncalled for. It's, you know, basically it's Sting versus Steiner, and then Bully should have been there, and that's it. And then Angle should have came down for the save. You know, you don't need Hogan and Anderson there. There's no point.
Yeah.
See, I guess my thing is, it's almost like Hogan didn't need to be there number one. I could see Anderson. I should explain this better. I can see Anderson and Angle, but Hogan and Bully could have stayed in the back, even though I know they're trying to get Steiner to join.
Well, they're trying to do the Steiner and Bully, like, you know, feud. Yeah. They're trying to push that. Although I don't think that's a big moneymaker, in my opinion. Anderson and Angle, on the other hand, I do, even though they faced each other last year and Angle won every time. It's going to be a little bit different. And so I'm interested in that. And I understand with Sting because of Anderson. But I have to agree with you. There is no need for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan doesn't need to be there 24/7. And in fact, I would much prefer if Hogan, he takes up maybe 20 minutes of airtime, you know, per Impact. I would much prefer if it was 10 or 5. That's what I would prefer. You know?
I wouldn't even want him around anymore. I mean, he's got to the point where he's not needed. And they're paying him a lot of money to be there. They could get two other decent wrestlers to come over and be a part of it.
Well, you have him there because he's a big marquee name. And even if you don't know anything about wrestling, you know the name Hulk Hogan. And so if you say that he's going to be on a pay-per-view wrestling even, you know, and while, yeah, you know, he shouldn't be and it's going to be a horrible match, nonetheless, it's still going to probably get a few extra buys because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. But you anyway.
Know, it's just like Linda Hogan's book that's coming out. It's going to get some buys because she was the husband of Hulk Hogan.
She was the husband of Hulk Hogan?
She was the wife of Hogan. I gotta say something really fast. There was some stuff that came out saying that basically she was the equivalent of a prostitute, as Mr. Hellwig said. And it turns out that was completely false. And I thought that was hilarious that she came out and said it. And then she started talking about it all in all. And then her closing segment to this place was the rumor was that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to point that out because I thought it was hilarious. So that means Ultimate Warrior, Jim Hellwig, all of his segments are completely fake. And he's just a big liar. Makes me laugh. So now that he's been on the limelight, he will no longer be there. We got to talk about something that happened on Raw at the end for just about a little over 6 minutes. CM Punk came in, grabbed a mic, and went to the ramp and sat Indian style.
Cross-legged.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had to say cross-legged. My bad. Anyway, so he talks about CM Punk kissing Vince's butt. And he said, but before he said that, he actually said that he doesn't hate him.
Yeah, but he does say that he is a butt kisser, and that he's as big of a butt kisser as Hogan was, but not nearly as good as Dwayne or The Rock, saying that that Dwayne is the biggest butt kisser of them all.
That's what he said. And then he goes into detail. He goes, you know, the big thing is that he says that he doesn't hate him. He says, I don't even dislike you. He's like, I like you a hell of a lot more than most people in the back. But he hates the fact that he's considered the best wrestler. That's what he hates. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
used that term too. He said that he is the best wrestler. Not superstar.
Yeah, not superstar. He said wrestler, which is true. So the thing is that I thought would have been funny. I wish he would have said, he goes, I am the best wrestler, and that's why wrestling matters. If he would have said that,
they might have cut his mic.
They would have definitely cut his mic right away. There's no way they let him continue.
Yeah.
So, but
he talked about Paul Heyman though, and he brought him up because Paul Heyman saw something in CM Punk, and he believed in him, and that's why he even brought him to when he did the WWE ECW. And, he even said, yeah, that's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. And Paul Heyman saw something in Brock Lesnar. And guess what? He left the company, too. Now mm-hmm. he's doing something even better. Yep. And I'm going to leave the company, but I'm going to leave it with the gold. And so he kind of talked about that, which I thought was pretty interesting.
And he also said he's breaking the fourth wall, which I thought was hilarious. He said, and then I love what he said. He said, let me get something straight. Or no, I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself right there. He actually said that he is the best on the mic. He is the best in the ring and the best on commentary. We talked about his commentary a while back in one of the shows, how that was probably the best commentating we've heard in a long time.
Very long time.
And this is also, when you think about it, this is also, we're talking about JR. We are talking about Jerry the King Lawler, Michael Cole. I mean, we're talking about guys who, this is what they do. Matt Stryker, if you want to throw him in there. So this is what we're talking about. And when you think about it, he was the best next to JR. And JR's not even around now when you think about it.
He's around sparingly.
So when you think about it, he is almost like the complete package. CM Punk can almost be the total package. He could do it all. I don't know about his reffing skills, but I'm pretty sure he could probably figure those out. But, that's the one thing. That's the thing.
Well, let's talk about these imaginary brass rings that he grabbed at Vince's. He grabbed all of Vince's imaginary brass rings. What are those? Like, oh, you had the title, or you won the Royal Rumble, or you won the Money in the Bank, or King of the Ring, or whatever it is. I mean, those are your brass rings? I mean, who cares about that? Or kissing his butt, maybe. I don't know. What did he think, about his brass rings?
Well, he made, basically, he actually talks about the fact that, they're just completely imaginary. As in, he was saying that Vince is not the guy in wrestling. There are other people out there. It's just that Vince was able to force people out, and he's bought tapes. The thing is, Vince has a library that I would love to have. I mean, if I had the WCW library, how much money I'd be pulling in? I mean, I'd be sitting in an editing room all the time saying, oh, here we go. Hey, what do you think of this? All right, let's put it out. Vince is a good business guy. I think he's lost the wrestling aspect of it. And I think that's what CM Punk is talking about, these imaginary brass rings. That's what it is. So, mm-hmm.
But just to talk about that, just kind of a real quick setup for next week. This week, they actually Bloomberg did a piece on Vince McMahon that we obviously will not have time to talk about because of this, that we will actually talk about in depth next week. But let's move on, though. CM Punk also made a comment that he was sickened that The Rock is going to main event at WrestleMania next year and not him. And then you probably heard what Rock said about that, what Dwayne said about it, right? He went on to Twitter and said, "Well, I will draw more money in that night than you will draw in your lifetime."
That's not true.
See, obviously, it's not true.
Right.
But he will draw money. Don't get me wrong. Right? I mean, that match will draw money.
It will draw money. But I just think it's funny that he goes, but the fact of the matter is that I should be, and trust me, it isn't sour grapes, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event at WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. And the thing that I understand about this is, yeah, there's money that's involved. But you also have to remember, there are also guys who day in and day out keep, you know, working their butts off, putting up with the BS with the wrestling business. But Dwayne comes and goes when he pleases.
And not only just that, but you could make a superstar that way. And CM Punk, we've said, has always been on the verge of becoming that huge guy. And the problem is, you know, with his matches with The Undertaker, Undertaker didn't put him over, you know, which is crap. Undertaker should have put him over at least in the first match. And, yeah. You know, his match with Orton, who did not put him over, what was it, 2 pay-per-views, 3 pay-per-views mm-hmm. in a row, did not put him over once. By doing so, you are going to be ruining his character. You're not going to allow him to become this big superstar. You have him win against Taker, you have him win against Orton, he's going to be up there. And then you have him main event against Cena at WrestleMania, have him beat Cena. I mean, that's all she wrote. I completely understand what he, you know, his gripe is there.
Mm-hmm. I want to actually put all the expert that he actually says from the quote that he says. He goes, because you are the ones sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy the programs that my face isn't on the cover on. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you're the ones who shove basically those programs in his face and say, hey, sign these because I want to go sell these on eBay and make some money because I'm too lazy to get jobs. You know, that was like a heel thing, but it was also not a heel thing. It was basically he was telling the truth. He says, I don't mind signing stuff, but the fact that my face isn't on the program, I don't think I should have to sign it. And I agree. I completely agree.
I agree to an extent. I don't think that was just a heel promo, though. I actually think that he really feels that. I have a friend who I'm not going to name anybody.
Name drop.
But he knows him. Like, he worked with him to a great extent back in the day, before CM Punk was huge. And he said that he was a jerk. He was his friend. And he's like, look, you know, he's pretty full of himself. He's kind of a jerk, all right? Mm-hmm. And so this promo that he cut when he was saying that, it's not like he's directing it towards me. I almost felt that way, though, which actually is the sign of a good promo. But I feel that that really came from his heart. I feel that he really feels that way, which in a way is kind of a bad thing. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My thing is that he had to still be a heel, but he also had to be he had to tell the truth and actually say what he wanted to say, and he did. He let them know. He basically is still leaving as a heel. That's the thing. He wanted to leave as a heel. So he's putting himself even in a higher point as a heel, which is fine. That's great for the WWE. But they won't talk about it. After this match on Sunday, you won't hear anything about CM Punk for a while. I can guarantee it.
Well, we have a few Sundays to wait. I mean,
right. I'm sorry. I think I said this Sunday. I meant on July 17th. Which will be a great, honestly, I'm just wondering what they're going to do because I almost see a Bret Hart screw job here for some reason.
I could almost see that too. It'll be interesting to see. Now, I do want to ask, so he ends his segment by attacking Johnny Ace, and then he attacked Triple H and Stephanie and then Vince. He, you know, comments that he wishes that, you know, that the company would be better off once Vince is dead. You know,
well, that's
but his doofus son-in-law and idiotic daughter are going to be running the company.
Yeah, but he also says something really cool that I was actually happy about. He said something about Colt Cabana because he got shafted also.
hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Yeah, and the fact that he name dropped New Japan Pro Wrestling. But by the way, with them, though, they do have a relationship with the WWE and Ring of Honor technically still does with Ohio Valley, even though it's not FCW, but they still have some type of. You know, the WWE has some portion of him, which is kind of nice. But the fact that he name dropped him, I was like, ooh, that's kind of breaking the fourth wall, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, the one thing that he did say in his promo that is true, he said, the reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, is because everything's going to keep turning. No matter what, you guys are going to still come to the shows. You're still going to pay for it. He understands that. Vince McMahon will still make money, no matter what. He'll still make the money. But then he has to. But he makes fun of Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, you know, because he's a yes guy. There's a lot of yes people in the organization. The guys who aren't there. Shane McMahon. He was never a yes man to his father because he thought that wrestling should go one way, and it was going a different way, which I thought was kind of interesting.
here's the big thing that I have in response to the yes man thing. I understand, like, always, you know, backing up a product that you're putting out, because at the end of the day, you kind of have to. But the big thing is, there's no problem in playing devil's advocate by saying, hey, you know, I understand and I'm not disagreeing with you, but what about this? What would be your argument against this? And then that way you can strengthen your argument, because you can say, look, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but what if we did this instead? And then say, oh, well, the only problem, if we did do that, then it wouldn't be as good because of this, this, and this. And right. I could understand that. But that's the biggest problem that they really have, is that whatever Vince says is going to go. And that sucks. That really does.
And the thing is, I think Vince has got to the point where he needs to retire. He needs to walk away from it. He just needs to walk away. The other thing also that I thought was really fun, basically the last few sentences that he says, I like to think that this company would be better after Vince is dead, but the fact that it's going to be taken over by his doofus son-in-law and his idiotic daughter and the rest of his stupid family. Now, that was the thing is, I love how he used and the rest of it, but is he talking about the WWE family? Because I know he's not talking about Shane McMahon, because I thought that, you know, maybe he actually liked Shane for some reason, but...
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and then I love the fact that he gets to a bullying campaign, and that's when
he was going to talk about it. Yeah, and then he got cut off. He was going to tell a personal story, and so he got cut off. Now let's get right into the it all. Is it a work or is it a shoot?
The fact that he has not posted on Twitter since, I don't know. He's usually on Twitter all the time. He was on Twitter. He hasn't been on Twitter since he said, I'm in the basically I could give a crap mode.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been on since. And that tells me something that, you know, maybe it's real. You know, I know that some of it's a work. They basically said you can say what you want. But when I look back at this, he's wearing a Stone Cold shirt. And I've seen this promo. I'm not exaggerating. I've probably watched 50 times now since Tuesday when I got it on Tuesday until now. I've probably listened to it 50 times. I'm not exaggerating. It's probably 50 times. Each time I look at it, I see the fact that they let him go. They let him do what he wanted to. But I think Vince told him to do that, because this is the most talked about wrestling promo. And this is, I mean, the Jim Rohn from ESPN. ESPN Jim Rohn said, hey, come on my show. You have 24 minutes. 24 minutes, he would let CM Punk come on. And he's not joking. He is dead serious. He wants CM Punk. He wants him to come on. I'm just wondering, will he? Because if he really did, he could come on. But also, what does the agreement him and Vince have?
I don't know. And here's the thing that's unfortunate. On WWE.com, they said that CM Punk had been suspended because of that. And so it was like, whoa, you know, I mean, this could be a work, could be a shoot. But then what is really unfortunate is that they taped Raw. And so what happened on there is that we know that it may or may not be. We know that CM Punk is going to be in the main event. You know, we're going to have to talk about it next week, and it's a spoiler. Sorry. But nonetheless, here's my feelings on it, okay? I believe that it is a little bit of a work, but I believe that that is a shoot, because when he brought up inside baseball stuff, insider knowledge, talking about Johnny Ace, talking about Triple H and Stephanie that kids may not know. And he talked about them in depth about, you know, basically how stupid that they are. He said some stuff that to me was just like, wow, that's really insider baseball. The only thing that would have really surprised me is if he would have brought up TNA. That would have been like, oh, wow, this is definitely a 100% shoot. I believe that this is 90% shoot.
I think it's more 30% shoot. And most of it, I forgot to do some research, but it dealt with which hand CM writes on. But anyways, he wrote a lot of stuff on his wrist tape, and I think that that's what he wanted to talk about. But I feel that, I don't know, something just seems too much of a work to me now, the fact that he didn't bring up Impact or TNA. Because he could have slid that in there, and yeah, they could have probably bleeped it out or whatever, but then people there would have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the see. So I think there's some truth to it, but I think that Vince finally said he went too far when he said the bullying thing. If he would have never said that, I'm wondering what would have been said. Or was it planned that the mic was going to get cut off then? Because if it was CM Punk, he was that ticked off. I wouldn't be surprised if he went up to Zack Ryder and said, "Hey, give me your, I want your camcorder. I'm going to go ahead and do my thing right now." If he would have done that, YouTube would have been taken down almost. Because I guarantee you there would have been over 100,000 hits in like 6 hours.
Yeah. With a few of them coming from you, of course. The other thing, though, I should say, too, is that living on the West Coast, as I've said before, I get the East Coast feed, which is nice, so I get to watch it earlier. I get to watch it at 6 till 8. West Coast feed is 9 to 11. I taped it just to see what happened. And they left everything in there. So if they would have taken all of it out, then I would have been like, this is definitely a 100% shoot. Or if they would have taken out the last part. They left all of it in there. So it was exactly as it was for the East Coast feed.
Did they have the WWE, basically the tag copyrighted by them at the very end?
You know, the problem is I didn't add the extra minute. I added 5. I should have added 6 minutes.
Right.
And that's the thing that always upsets me. But anyway, yeah, I got to say, you know, and actually I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to say that this is probably about a 70% shoot and 30% work. Because I think that he had certain things that he was going to say and that Vince was okay with. And then he said some things that were just from the heart. And I think that once he attacked Triple H and Stephanie and then he started going to the bully campaign, that's when Vince was like, immediately knock it off. Because after that, after the show went off the air, he had a meeting with Vince McMahon, and Johnny Ace and a couple other people too. So imagine this, you know, you just went and ripped your boss a new one, and now you're going to have a meeting with him directly thereafter. And so it's interesting. It really is.
Completely interesting. And the other thing also, I thought that maybe it was a work because he came out. Remember the Attitude Era started with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Maybe there's a new era and maybe we're not going to have a PG era anymore. You know, if you think about it, because he came out wearing the Stone Cold shirt, basically saying, hey, things are changing. Or maybe he's saying that things are changing for Mr. CM Punk. So anyway, so do you have anything else you want to talk about with this, Aaron?
You know, I think that we, you know, I knew that this is going to be a really long segment. I think we paced ourselves very well to get to it. I got to say, this is one of those things in wrestling that everybody was talking about. CM Punk was one of the highest searched terms this week. Mm-hmm. It was a trending topic on Twitter. So was Colt Cabana, which is kind of cool too. I'll tell you what, if anything else, even if this was a shoot, Vince should be praising CM Punk for what he did. Because WWE, their website got a lot more hits this week. Their Facebook fan page did. They got tons of publicity. This was amazing for the sport of wrestling, for the entertainment sport of wrestling. I'm very happy with this, and I think that something like this should happen more often. It shouldn't happen once every 15 years.
Exactly. So, well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank Section 86 and N86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank the listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.